Well, I don't know about you, but, you know, we had our children's play a week ago, I suppose. And, you know, the theme of that was that Christmas is busy, right? And that we kind of forget what the meaning of the season is, that it's all about Jesus, after all. And, you know, as we gather here today, on this Christmas Eve, we're here to celebrate the birth of Christ. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what Christmas is about, to remember his birth, but not just that, to remember his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and that he will come again, right? He is coming again. He will be back. And so I love this season, but there's so many distractions out there, right? Busy, busy, busy all the time. And, you know, I was talking with someone today, and I find it odd how, you know, even non-Christians, they come out and they celebrate Christmas, right? Am I the only one that is like, wow, that's kind of weird? You got guys that will say they're not a Christian, they know they're not a Christian, and yet they celebrate Christmas. Now, their version of it is kind of that consumeristic version, right? But don't we often fall into that same trap of celebrating some consumeristic thing that really has nothing to do with Jesus? Well, today I want to read a couple passages, look at a couple texts, but I want to talk not just about the birth of the baby Jesus in a manger by the Virgin Mary, but I want to talk about why did Jesus come and what role did he fulfill? Why is it so important that we know the roles Jesus fulfilled when he came incarnate? So, first off, I want to talk about how Jesus came to bring peace. You know, we've got the four different, you know, words for Advent: the hope, peace, joy, and love. And so we know that Jesus came to bring peace. And everyone loves peace, right? You've seen, if you're familiar with history, or maybe a few of you even lived this, I won't gather who was around in 1945, but when World War II ended, people were so joyful at the peace. Do you remember this iconic photo of a sailor and a woman just like kissing in the street? Have you all seen that photo, right? And they don't even know each other, right? But it's because peace has finally come, and so there's joy in light of this peace that came. But you see, Jesus came to bring the real peace, the lasting peace, and the peace that really, in the end, matters. Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7, and keep in mind, this was written 600 years before Jesus was born. The prophet Isaiah foretold his coming, and Isaiah said, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end." So this child, he comes, Jesus comes, he's born, and he is to be called the Prince of Peace. And then we're told that the increase of his peace, it's never going to end. There will be no end. But what kind of peace is Isaiah talking about? What kind of peace is this referring to? Is this just a peace between countries, that there would not be wars? Is this simply a peace between people? Well, those are good things, and maybe that's a part of it. Both of those are true, because when you and I are both in Christ, there is a peace that exists between us because we are all in Christ, but there's so much more to the idea of peace than just us having peace with one another. The big idea, of course, is peace with God. And so if you go to Luke, in the story, Luke 2, verse 14, the shepherds are out in the field. You know this story, right? If you've been in church, you've heard this story. The shepherds are out in the field, and the angels appear to them. And to the shepherds, the angels sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." Now, some translations, you know, the song might say, "Peace among those with whom his favor rests, those among whom he is pleased." There is peace among us, right? You see, Jesus didn't come to bring this earthly peace per se, but what he really came to bring in terms of peace that's most important for you today at Christmas time is to know that Jesus came to bring peace between God and man. And so when these angels appear to announce peace on earth, it's peace between you and God. Peace between you and God. Remember that. So Jesus was born. He condescended into this world in human form to bring peace. But that peace comes between you and God. And it only comes if you've repented of your sins and trusted in him for your salvation. So only Jesus brings this peace. But maybe we should back up and we should talk about the root of the problem. Why do you need peace with God to begin with? What's the problem? Why is there a problem that needs resolved that you have to have peace with God to begin with? Well, okay, let's go back to the root of the problem. The root of the problem is sin, right? And Adam sinned in the garden, and we are his descendants, and that sin comes down to us. But not just that, we sin as well, right? We willfully choose to disobey God on many, many occasions, more than we can ever count. And so, because of this, we are sinners, and we have separated ourselves from God. And then you got to understand the character of God. All right, we are sinners to the core. And then you've got God over here on the other side, and he is holy, and he cannot even look upon sin. Yet every ounce of us is filled with sin and the taint of sin. And so this sin has created a chasm between us and God, between a sinful man and a holy God. Imagine you're standing at the Grand Canyon and you're on one side and he is on the other. What is ever going to bridge that gulf, right? It is a mile-wide gulf. And what can ever bridge this gulf? And not only that, not only is there this chasm because of sin, not only is there this gulf between us, but there is this anger and this hatred of God towards sin. There is this dispute, right? Now, a lot of our culture, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that God has a dispute with them. But it's true, right? God had a dispute with each and every one of us before we came to Christ. And so there's this dispute between us and God. And so, how can there ever be peace? We need a mediator. And guess who the mediator is? It's Jesus, right? Jesus comes, and he is the mediator. He is the one who will bridge that gulf and will solve the dispute, will make it right. Now, you go back to Isaiah's time. We read a verse out of Isaiah. And at the temple, there was this sacrificial system that was going on, right? And this sacrificial system, it gave us hints of what was to come. It gave us a picture of how this dispute was ultimately going to be resolved. So the high priest, he was said to be the single representative for all the people, for the people of Israel. And the high priest would go to the temple on the Day of Atonement, and he would make a mediating sacrifice before God on behalf of all the people. So the high priest would come and he would make the sacrifice. But he would come back every year and make it again and make it again and make it again. Year after year, it was a shadow of what was to come. It didn't once and for all solve the problem, did it? Because only Jesus would be the once and for all sacrifice, the perfect mediator. That high priest, he was a mediator in a sense, but he wasn't the perfect mediator between God and man. That role belongs only to Jesus. That high priest was a shadow of what was coming and what was going to happen when this baby Jesus was born. So Jesus, if you're in him, if you know him, he's to be our ultimate high priest. And not only that, he is our ultimate sacrifice. He's the true mediator. He's the true intercessor before God. When we go before God, Jesus mediates on our behalf to him. Jesus intercedes on our behalf to him. You know, in the Advent Kids Devotional, I don't know if some of you with kids might have got a chance to do the Kids Advent Devotional. And one of the activities in there that I thought was very interesting spoke to this idea of Jesus as our mediator. And so the activity was that you had to have your kids find a connector or a mediator if they wanted to talk with us. So for instance, if Ty wants to talk with me, he has to have a go-between, right? He has to hold someone else's hand, and then that person has to hold my hand, and now he can talk to me, right? Now he can talk, and there's a go-between. But if there's no go-between, we can't talk, right? So it's just this fun little activity that kids can do. but it explains this concept of a mediator in a very, very simple way. We cannot go before God without the mediator, and the mediator is Jesus. So if you're wanting just a very base example, think about that. You know, there is a go-between. There is a man in the middle holding both parties and bringing us together. If you go to 1 Timothy 2, 5 through 6, if you got your Bibles, you can go there. And I want to just read you this verse real quick, because this verse is the key. If you want to understand the peace that Jesus brings, if you want to understand his mediation, look to 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6. Now listen to this. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men. That is the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. So there's one God and one mediator between us. Now, you know, you've got all these world religions out there, and there's no mediator, is there? There's no mediator to bridge the gulf between a God who hates sin and a sinful man. But in Scripture, we've got that mediator. There's one man. He's Jesus, right? So I'm not the mediator. Scott's not the mediator. There is no other human mediator. It's Jesus. He is the mediator. He is your go-between, and he is why you have access to God. He is why you can go before the Father and petition him and ask him for your needs. It's because Jesus allows us to do this. That's his role. That's his job, to resolve the dispute between the parties that are at odds and to help them as a go-between. So that's what Jesus is doing. But why is Jesus uniquely qualified to do this? Well, he's fully God and he's fully man, right? He is both. He is 100% God, 100% man, and by virtue of that, he lived a sinless life, and he is the connector, and he is the only connector there will ever be. And so Jesus offers himself as a sacrifice for our sin in our place. He satisfied the wrath of God against us. That dispute is resolved forever between you and God, but only when you follow him. Because think back, Luke 2:14. Look what the angels say. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. With whom God is pleased. He is pleased with you when you are in him, when his son is mediating for you on your behalf. God is pleased with those who follow him. So peace between God and man. Yes, it is achievable, but it is achievable because Jesus mediates on your behalf. So today, this Christmas Eve, we come to remember the birth of our Savior. And we think of these images, these pictures of a baby lying in a manger, right? Helpless babe. And he was. But 30 years later, and we've got an entirely different scene, right? Jesus is going to the cross. And in about 4 months, you know, on Easter, we're going to celebrate that reality, that this baby didn't stay a baby. He grew into a man, he lived a sinless life, and he goes to the cross, and now he mediates between us and God. And so for you this Christmas, you're thinking about peace. What is real peace? Do you have real peace in your heart? Is your heart at peace? Is your life at peace? Are you at rest? Well, if you know God as your mediator, I would hope that this Christmas you can rest in that peace. Thank him for that peace he has given you, because there is no more dispute between you and God. Jesus has done it. He has taken care of it on your behalf. So Christians, rest in that peace this Christmas. It's a busy time of year. It's a crazy time of year, but rest in the peace that Jesus gives you if you're in Christ. If you're not, I'm hoping you'll think about this and think about, well, what does it mean to really have peace in my life? Why do I need this peace? You know, my life's a mess. And here is this one man who can bridge the gulf between me and God. You look to him this Christmas. Consider, what does it mean to turn from your sin and follow this Christ? Who is he, and what can he do on your behalf? Because the peace you're searching for, the peace you're looking for between you and God, it's not going to happen any other way. There is no other way for peace, peace on earth and peace in your soul. And so if you're restless this Christmas, go to Jesus. Ask him for that eternal peace. Amen? Pray with me. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, that he came as a baby, born in a manger, born of the Virgin Mary, but that he did not stay that way, that he grew, Lord, and he went to the cross, and he died as a sacrifice in our place, taking the punishment for our sins and bridging that gap that we could never bridge. Lord, I pray this Christmas season we would have peace for every single one of us, that we would rest in your peace, that we would know this peace is not something that is earthly, that this is not something that we can achieve on our own, but we can only look to you and the Son, and your Son, and that sacrifice that he made. Lord, I just ask for each of us, be with us in this time and give us peace. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.